one has to deal with baptism. Baptism. And we see the definition we have means to immerse. It doesn't mean water. It doesn't mean you get saved by it. Okay? You get wet. Okay, we're going to look on bullet point 2, the types of baptism. The first one in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 2. The baptism under Moses. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Okay, this baptism referred to here, the baptism of Moses. Moses led the Israelites out of captivity, out of Egypt. This is the baptism of Israel, the nation of Israel, when they left the land of Israel, land of Egypt. They were baptized in the cloud by going through a mist or a fog. Item 2, the baptism of repentance. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 3, verses 11. Matthew 3, 11. Matthew 3, 11. The baptism of repentance we see here in Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Here we have John the Baptist baptizing, speaking of baptizing Christ in the future, and The baptism of repentance is John's baptism with water unto repentance. This is spiritual in nature and deals with repenting and getting right. Another verse, you don't have to look it up, but just write it down. In John 1:31, John tells us why he's baptizing. That he, meaning Jesus, might be made manifest unto Israel. And then in Acts 1, your second scripture reference there, Acts 1, 4 to 5, we see, we're not going to turn there, but we'll see if you look that up and research that, that they did not get the Holy Ghost through John's baptism. It was to reveal Jesus Christ to the nation of Israel. Item 3. Baptism of fire. We're going to stay in Matthew, the same verse, but we're going to also add verse 12. So, to reread that again, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, speaking of Christ, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, I know a lot of charismatics speak of this baptism of fire and of tongues and fire coming on them and doing all kinds of signs and wonders, which were for the apostles and not for us today. The fire spoken of here in this verse refers to judgment in hell. And if we back up to verse 10, let's go back to verse 10 in Matthew, same chapter, and you're going to see the context of why. It says, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So we see this as a baptism of fire, is a baptism of judgment. It's a reference to unsaved people rejecting the gospel of Christ and going to hell. Item 4, baptism of suffering. Let's turn over to Matthew 20, verse 22. This speaks of the Christ going to the cross. Matthew chapter 20, verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am to be baptized with? They said unto him, we are able. Now this baptism of suffering we see here is Christ is speaking to James and John, and he asked them, are you able to drink the cup that I am going to drink of? Meaning, going to the cross and suffering all the things that he was to suffer for their sake. They answer later on, we are able. But they did suffer. The apostles did suffer. Just about all of them were martyred. Okay. And we see here, this is speaking of the cross, because Jesus had already been baptized in water. So we know this is not referring to water baptism. And strictly, he's getting ready to go to the cross here. Item 5, the baptism of the Jews. Let's turn over to Acts 2. Acts 2, 38. Acts 2:38, baptism of the Jews. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then let's go also back to 2:37. Now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Okay, and Peter was preaching his socks off to the Jews at this time, and they were convicted. They knew that they had murdered Christ, that they had killed him unjustly. And that question, what shall we do? And some of your corrupt Bibles will have, what shall we do to be saved? That is not the context of this. It's what shall we do in light of that we crucified the Messiah, is what this is speaking of. And then they go on to say, Peter goes on in the verse to tell them to repent and to be baptized. Now we see the Jews here are asking, in view of the fact that they crucified the Messiah, what shall we do? And the answer to the question is found in verse 37 that we read. And let's look also at verse 39. I thought that was Acts 2:39. It says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So the call was to repent and be baptized. And the promise, where it says in verse 39, the promise is unto you, meaning Israel, your children, also meaning the children of those Israelites, and to all that are far off, referring to Jews that had been scattered or dispersed in the dispersion. And then the last one, number 6, we're going to see a spiritual baptism. In your notes there, you'll see it also says after item 5 that the nation is Israel as a group. Okay, and then we have all the verses listed there. This has nothing to do with a sinner asking what must he do to be saved, okay, which I mentioned that some of the Bibles will add in there. Simon Peter's baptism to Israel after the crucifixion, okay. Now we're going to go to spiritual baptism, item 6. This is when you are saved. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Okay, so the day you got saved, you were immersed with the Holy Spirit. Now this is spiritual in nature, spiritual baptism. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Notice that. There's something different going on than what we read in Acts, which was to the Jews. Also, in Ephesians 4, if you want to just check that chapter out when you have time, it says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." The "this" in that verse is us. That means you and me. This is the body of Jesus Christ. This is His church. This is you and I. And let's move on to item 7, believer's baptism. We're going to go back to Acts chapter 10. Believer's baptism. Acts 10. Verses 34 to 43. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, is Lord of all. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree." Excuse me. "Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him, and he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." So we see believers' baptism here in these verses, and we're going to see that also Matthew 28:19 listed there, which is a real good verse for believers' baptism. We're not going to turn there right now. Well, let's go ahead and turn there. And I think we have time to do that. Matthew 28:19. Familiar verse, I'm sure you've all heard it. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Okay. Peter preaches to the household of, in Acts, I'm speaking of it, preaches to the household of Cornelius in verse 44. "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them all which heard the word." Gentile baptism is, of course, it's different from Jewish baptism. As we read in Matthew 28:19, which is a Gentile baptism, it says, "Go baptize all nations," meaning everyone other than the Jews. Okay, all Gentile nations, "in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." The Jew, on the other hand, is told to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Okay, let's move on to our second sheet. Speaking of false doctrines. Okay, which is prevalent even today. We see a lot of things that are not biblical in regards to baptism still being practiced today. The first one, baptismal regeneration. That's the name given to doctrines held by some which maintain that salvation comes by the act of baptism. Baptism, I'll say it again, doesn't save anyone. Never has, never will. It's an outward sign It's a sign to the world and as a witness of what you have inside of you, Jesus Christ, that you believe. So it's an outward sign of an inward belief, okay, that you're professing Christ as your Savior. It does not ever save anyone from hell or from their sins. Okay, so we're going to see under the item, why is it false? And let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. It says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. We see there, Paul states that Christ sent him not to baptize, okay, but to preach the gospel. Also, I want to look back at, let's go back in that same chapter. Let's go back to and read verses 14 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. It says, I thank God, this is Paul speaking, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Okay? So you can see Paul's focus and what he's trying to drill home here. He's not focused on baptism. He wasn't sent and made an apostle of Jesus Christ to go out and baptize. He was made an apostle to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, if baptism was essential for salvation, you know, I don't think we'd see Paul as focused on preaching the gospel. We'd see a lot more of him going out and doing baptism, a works-based salvation. Okay, we see in 1 Corinthians 4:15 that Paul produced spiritual offspring of Christ through preaching the gospel. All right, let's turn now to infant baptism. Okay, and we're going to see your sentence there. It says there are not one verse in the Bible where a baby is baptized. Baptism comes after salvation. Like I said earlier, if baptism is a profession of what we believe inside, how can a child, an infant, even know what he's doing? They have not the ability to decide on something so important. Salvation comes, we know, through a conscious acceptance by grace through faith and believing on Christ, which an infant is incapable of doing. I know there's several Roman Catholics we have in our church. I was raised Roman Catholic. I was Roman Catholic for 33 years. Okay, I was sprinkled in the church. That's what they still do today. And it does not ensure that that baby's going to heaven. That baby's already secure. If you read in the Psalms where David speaks of his child that died at birth, how he would see him one day in heaven. So there are several areas in the Bible that assure us that young children like that, below an age of accountability, of when they're able to make a informed decision on accepting Christ, that they go to heaven. If something should happen to them, they die, they're with Christ in heaven. Item number three, baptism by sprinkling. Let's look at Matthew 3:16. Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Here we see Jesus' baptism. Now my question to you, was he sprinkled? No, he went down. He went down and was immersed completely under the water. Okay, and that is about all you would need, I'd say, to affirm that you do not need to be sprinkled. Okay, but Jesus gives us an example there of baptism. Okay, and he's our example to us in a lot of things throughout our Christian life. And then remember those last couple sentences there. It says, remember the word baptism means immerse and is a picture of death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The picture of going down under the water and being immersed, signifying a death, okay, and then being raised up, signifying a resurrection. Strictly symbolic. No hocus pocus or magic going on here. Like I said, it's just a sign, an outward sign of an inward belief and a trust in Christ as our Savior. And then the last one sentence that our brother Chad put on here, I got a little chuckle out of it. Can you imagine going to a funeral and see a body sprinkled with dirt instead of being buried? They cover that thing, right? 6 feet? 6 feet worth of dirt? They don't sprinkle that thing. I thought that was pretty good. But brother, we got through a little early today, I guess. So, is there any questions anyone has? Anything to add? We've got a couple minutes. I guess so. Yes, sir.
The only thing I would add to that is Brother Doug's purpose was just a really quick overview of baptism. And even if you didn't understand all of it, just take away, obviously, you see there's seven different types of baptism in the Bible. And like you started off saying, baptism doesn't mean water, it doesn't mean salvation. The whole purpose, without wanting to get to each individual one of those, is there's multiple different types of baptism in the Bible, like Brother Doug said. That's kind of the takeaway of the lesson. People often think baptism is just when you go down under the water. It's not that. It just means immersed.
And it is interesting, if you really dig in, I mean, there's a lot of verses in Scripture on each one of those baptisms, the baptism under fire, and the baptism of suffering of Jesus Christ, and the apostles, like I mentioned, how the apostles, when Christ asks, are you able to drink of the cup that I am going to drink of? And they answer, we are. And then you see how a lot of them were, you know, beheaded, crucified. So, I don't want to say it's ironic, but Christ knew that they were going to suffer. You know, so. But there's a lot of. You can do a study, a whole hour on each one of those seven baptisms in the Bible. There's a lot of good information on them if you want to dig into them and really become scholarly on each one of those. You can certainly do that. Now, I want to also remind everyone about our memory verses, Psalm 119, verses 1 to 8. Everyone in the discipleship class were to know them, have them memorized in, I guess, a couple, 3 weeks, brother?
Yes, sir, 2 or 3 weeks. I'll get the pastor. We're going to print out a certificate for successful phase one, and we're going to get up there as everyone here that's willing and quote Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8 together.
As a group, okay.
And then when we do phase two, we'll do the next, I think it's 8 verses, but we'll do the all 16 verses then.
Okay. All right, if no one else has any questions, it's clear on your Psalm 119, verses 1 to 8. Yes, brother.
I got a question about baptizing in the fire. After you read the Nazis, it's fairly obvious that it's judgment. But where did the character get that? Because I was told that if you're baptized in the fire, you start speaking in tongues and stuff. Where did they get that?
Thank God for Brother Chad.
Begin there in Acts chapter 2, look at verse 8, at the beginning of the chapter there. Brother Doug, if you want to read verses 1 through 4, though, when we get
Yeah, I was looking at 4, but to get the whole context. Speaking of the day of Pentecost, okay, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, now watch this, like as of fire. Not cloven tongues of fire, like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And now, I know that's part of the reason why they get off base. They take that like as of tongues and they say baptized with tongues of fire instead of like as of fire. Well, it's also part of the corrupting of Bibles that add words, okay, to the Word of God. And this is the kind of thing you get into. Did you want to add anything, Brother Chad?
No, you're right, Brother. No, that's, I think that they hit that verse there. See, they were immersed by the fire. That fire immersion was them speaking in tongues, which is not what the verse said, like Brother Doug was saying, they changed it. Well, that's a proof text there, though, that the baptism of fire is like you said, Brother Jeff, obviously you see there back in Matthew has nothing to do with speaking in tongues. It's obviously there's two different judgments. One's the baptized by the Holy Ghost for the believers who get saved, and the other, Christ is going to cast those into eternal hell, the lake of fire, as a great white throne judgment. That's why he says, John says, he's either going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It's come for two purposes. But they take that in Acts 2, and that's their foundation verse.
Anyone else have anything else? Okay, that'll do it. Thank you for all your